Welcome to Becoming Better with Na'ama, the podcast that teaches you how to become a better person and a better partner. In this podcast, you're going to learn how to know yourself better. You'll learn tools and techniques to improve your communication skills, and you'll learn how to navigate your relationships using effective language. I'm Na'ama, a life coach specializing in partnerships and dating. I leverage my gift of communication and the wisdom of my past mistakes to teach you how to love more and fight less. I'm new to the podcasting world, but I have a lot to say. I hope you'll stick around and enjoy the episode. Remember to subscribe and share, and feel free to write to me at info@naamasegal.com for future episode ideas. And now, here's a brief ad from our sponsor, BetterHelp.com. Hey y'all, it's Na'ama. And as Ted Lasso likes to say, I am a work in progress. Seriously, I know that I am becoming better every day, but sometimes I'm also a mess. One of the most powerful tools that I have used over the last 20 years to become a little less of a mess is therapy. And if you need a therapist, which I think everyone does, you should go with BetterHelp.com. BetterHelp is the world's largest therapy service, and it's 100% online. With BetterHelp, you can tap into a network of over 30,000 licensed and experienced therapists who can help you with a wide range of issues. To get started, you just answer a few questions about your needs and preferences in therapy. That way, BetterHelp can match you with the right therapist from their network. Then you can talk to your therapist however you feel comfortable, whether it's via text, chat, phone, or video call. You can message your therapist at any time and schedule live sessions when it's convenient for you. If your therapist isn't the right fit for any reason, which happens, you can switch to a new therapist at no additional charge. I believe that everyone can benefit from therapy, and you can benefit from 10% off your first session by going to betterhelp.com/becomingbetter. That's betterhelp.com/becomingbetter. Get yourself a therapist. They are just a fresh set of eyes to help you tackle any problem that you want to overcome. I believe in you, and this is just another way that you can become better. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. This is Na'ama, and this is Becoming Better. In today's episode, we are going to talk about listening. Are you listening? Okay, good. A lot of people think they know how to listen, and the truth is that they suck, and they don't want to be told that they suck. But it's a fact. Listening is not just a human skill that all human beings have the capacity for, generally speaking. I'm not speaking about people with different disabilities, but generally, all of us have the ability to listen. It doesn't mean that we're good at it. Just like any other skill set, it is something you have to practice. And I find that with my duos that I work with, a lot of the time they suck at listening. As a matter of fact, they're so bad at it, it actually makes their relationship worse. Like, it causes fights because they aren't listening. It's actually unfortunate. So today's episode is going to revolve around what is listening and why we have to listen and some pieces about listening that matter. So get your pen ready. You're going to want to write this down. Are you listening? Okay, seriously, I'm done. I'm sorry. It's a funny joke, okay? All right, let's get into it. First of all, what is listening? I hope if you're listening to this podcast, you've asked yourself this question, because if you don't realize there's an issue, then you're not fixing anything. Obviously, you need to know there's an issue before you fix it. So what is listening? It's a skill. It's not simply allowing your ears to absorb sound, and it's not just looking at a person and noticing things. It's beyond that. Listening involves both verbal and nonverbal communication. It involves paying very close attention to the things the person is saying and what they're not saying. It's noticing their body language, noticing their tone of voice, noticing the pace that they speak at, whether it's fast or slow, noticing their eye contact, their engagement, notice their breathing, notice where their shoulders are, what they're doing with their hands, Notice if they're sweating, if they look pale. These are all parts of nonverbal communication. And if you're a really good listener, you're going to pick up on this stuff. This is what helps you be a good listener. In addition to paying attention to the nonverbal and the verbal cues, there's the content itself. And then on a macro level, there's the circumstances that have brought the conversation to exist. So let's break down a few different parts. To start with, let's talk about the macro, the situation that brings you to having a conversation where you have to listen. Obviously, if you're not good at listening, any situation is going to be an opportunity to get better. But what I'm talking about specifically is you're in a situation where there's an actual important message being conveyed to you, and you need to pay very close attention. Maybe this is regarding money and your partner. Maybe it's regarding work. Maybe it's you and your partner having a conversation about that thing that you do that drives them completely insane. Maybe you're talking to a sibling about what you're going to get your parents for their anniversary. Maybe you're talking to one of your parents about the loss of their spouse. Maybe you're talking to a coworker, or your boss is talking to you. There's all these external situations that are going to bring about a conversation, and it's important to recognize that each of these external situations can impact the type of listening you're going to do and what you're looking for. Meaning, let's take an example. You are sitting down with your boss, and your boss is going over your 6-month review. Your boss in this situation is basically going to dominate the conversation, and they're going to tell you a whole lot of what they've noticed out of your work behavior. Obviously, we always hope that we're going to get a great review, and we hope that we're going to get flying stars, and they're going to sing our praises. But you need to set that aside when you sit down for that conversation, because the point is you need to listen carefully to what is being said and why. So in this situation with your boss talking to you, you're not going to reach over and hold their hand to show them you're listening. You're not going to stare deeply into their eyes and shoot love arrows at them. You're not going to do the things you would do in a romantic conversation to show that you're listening. Context matters. But you are going to do things to show that you're listening because this conversation is important. Does that make sense? Each situation is going to bring a conversation to you that you need to listen to that is relevant, and the external factors matter. Meaning, in most cases, you have to moderate your body language and your face, your breathing, and your nonverbal communication cues to match the person who's speaking to you, so that if it's a sad or difficult conversation, you're not going to be like wildly gesturing with your hands. You're not going to be pacing. You're not going to be tapping your foot. You're not going to be nodding your head vigorously and smiling and grinning like an idiot. Like, that's not what we do when we're having a sad conversation. Conversely, if someone's coming to you and they have something really exciting that they want to share with you, you are going to smile at them as much as they smile at you. If they open their eyes wide, you're going to open your eyes wide. When you mirror your body language and nonverbal cues to theirs in the context of that situation, it shows that you're listening. Now, let's talk about what verbal and nonverbal cues are. Let's start with nonverbal cues. And this is not an exhaustive list, obviously. You can certainly come up with a whole lot more. Remember I told you to get a pen? Make a list. Here we go. Body language. This consists of, if you're standing, is the person standing with feet apart or feet together? Are they rocking side to side? Are they standing with one foot in front of the other or feet spread apart? If they're sitting, notice if they are leaning forward or leaning back. Notice if their hands are in their lap or at their sides. Notice if they've crossed their legs, ankle to knee or knee over knee. Notice if they're pointing their cross legs at you or pointing them away from you. Are they man spreading their legs wide open in a really relaxed way? You know, and then there's the upper body. What are they doing with their hands? Are their hands wildly gesturing, as I stumbled over earlier? Or are their hands still in their lap? Sometimes there's a power pose called prayer position where people put their fingertips together in prayer position at their chin or at their lips. And it's a nonverbal cue to show that they're pensive, they're thinking, or they're simply in a position of power. Notice where their shoulders are. Are they slumped over or are they back with confidence? Notice where their face is pointing. Is their face pointing down? Is their face pointing up at the sky or the ceiling? Is the chin and the nose pointed at you, or is it pointed at the really hot-looking person at the other end of the room? Those are extremely important nonverbal pieces. On the subject of everything above the neck, notice what their eyes are doing. Notice if their pupils are dilated or if they're pinpoints. Are they darting their eyes around, looking in every direction, or are their eyes centered and focused and looking you in the face? Are their eyebrows scrunched up in frustration or anger or, whatever? Are their eyebrows and forehead relaxed, or are you seeing wrinkles? Notice what their mouth is doing. Notice their jaw. Is their jaw tight? Is their jaw loose? Does their lips and mouth look really tight? Are they speaking to you through gritted teeth? These are things that you can notice that are nonverbal cues. Lastly, and this is a little bit difficult, but it's something to definitely build on as a skill. I learned it through my certification in neuro-linguistic programming. Notice their breathing. Notice if they're breathing quickly or slowly. Notice if they're breathing shallowly through their upper chest or if they're doing good belly breathing. Shallow, bad, nervous, scared, agitated. Belly breathing, good, relaxed, calm, peaceful, present. Notice if you can see the pulse in their neck, like if the vein in their throat is pulsing wildly, they're probably pretty pissed off. Notice their skin tone and color. Do they look extra pale? Do they look sweaty or do they look flushed? Are their cheeks red? Do they look like they're about to have a heart attack? These are all nonverbal cues that are really helpful to pick up on. And this is listening. It's with your eyes. Again, most of what we say is nonverbal communication. So if you get good at, well, I'm sorry, language. When you get good at being able to discern these nonverbal cues, you're going to be ahead of the game. Now, that's obviously not an exhaustive list. I highly recommend you pick up books on communication techniques as well. But let's move on to verbal communication, verbal cues. Verbal cues include, if you haven't looked at my or listened to my episode on the six things, it's going to be things like pace, tone, timing, and subject choice, topic choice. Those are part of the verbal cues. Notice the pitch of their voice. Are they speaking to you really high and really exaggerated, like they're full of anxiety? Are they really breathy and really emotional? Is their pitch very low and dark and sad and depressing? Or do they seem to be in a really good mood? And there's a lot of harmonious and melodious ups and downs in their voice. Notice those things. That's actually a verbal cue. Notice their choice of words. You know, now we're getting into content. Notice the words that they choose, not just, you know, based on who they are and their culture and their background and their language. Maybe, you know, English is their first language. Maybe it's their second. Notice if they use certain words, maybe if they repeat them a lot. You know, our human brains are designed to pick up on patterns. So if you notice someone repeating the same word or phrase multiple times, it's significant. It may be significant to this conversation. It may be significant to them as a person. I'll give an example of he who shall not be named, but there was a certain former president who really loved to say, you know what I mean? Or those people, you get my point. Certain phrases will be repeated in a conversation and it's important for you to pick up on it. Put it in your memory bank. It doesn't mean that it will have to necessarily come into play later, but it will help you build a picture of the person you're speaking to. I also find it really fun to notice the phrases that people use when they're squeamish about things or when they're uncomfortable. You know, sometimes people don't want to say curse words, so they'll say darn
and shoot and heck and oh my gosh. You know, they're moderating their own language because they have their own standards for how they want to express themselves. And for them, cussing is just not an option. People also, you know, like to use certain phrases instead of saying, oh, that's just awful. They might say, that's not good. Those turns of phrase, they matter. It helps you build a picture of the person. It also helps you understand where they're coming from. For example, if you're dealing with someone who never curses and suddenly it's damn this and damn that, pay attention. It's a very big deal, obviously. They're using word choice that is unique to this situation. It'll set off a flag for you. That's important. Again, we could go on and on about verbal and nonverbal cues, but I'm going to move on. The next thing I want to talk about in terms of listening is I want you to remember that you absolutely need to withhold judgment. And we're not just talking about I'm, you know, angry and I want you to listen to me and I'm being completely irrational because you moved my teacup 3 inches around the table. Like, obviously, that's just a little bit much, but whatever. I'm talking about bigger things. These conversations that we're talking about, for examples, these conversations are going to be relevant. They're going to be important to the speaker. And clearly, if they're talking to you about it, they value you on some level. Don't screw up their value of you and their respect for you by not taking their communication seriously and by judging them. Now, I'm not saying don't be judgy because we're all judgy, but keep it to yourself, first of all. And secondly, try to sit in a place of objectivity when they're speaking to you. Meaning, if they say something that you think is just deeply trivial and ridiculous and nonsensical and, oh my God, why are you wasting my time with this? There's literally wars going on in the world. Why do we care about Harry Styles' latest pair of sneakers? Like, whatever. Like, I get it. It's something that you can be judgy about. Try not to show it in your face. I am guilty of this. I do not have a good poker face when it comes to that. Sometimes I have to withhold my judgment. So tell yourself, this is the clue here. This is the tool for your toolbox. Tell yourself, this person trusts me. They're talking to me because I am a safe person. Whatever comes out of their mouth, I will withhold judgment. Meaning, you may give yourself permission to judge them later, but in this moment when they are disclosing to you, that means saying something emotional and important, don't judge. Hold back. I know it's hard, but remember, you want to be able to talk to them and not feel judged. So keep repeating that to yourself, okay? Now, in terms of judgment, there's the next step of listening. So let's say that you've already figured out your verbal and nonverbal cues and you're listening really well and you're withholding your judgment. Now, this is the hard part. You need to get comfortable with silence. You need to be comfortable sitting there holding space, as those of us in my circle like to call it. Holding space means you don't speak. It means let them go. Let them vent, let them speak, let them emote, let them express, let them get it all out. And sit there and listen. And when you are doing that well, you'll know, because they're going to keep going and they're going to keep talking and they'll start to feel whatever they're feeling even more deeply. And they'll reach sort of a peak of emotionality in what they're saying. And then at a certain point, it'll peter out and they'll relax. Their shoulders will go down a little. Their breathing will relax a little bit more. And then they'll pause and they'll look at you and go, oh. So yeah, that's what's going on. That's a very big clue to show that you listened well. I know it's really hard because in our society, we are taught to listen to respond instead of listening to hold space. But this is literally a skill you gotta practice. So when they're talking, nod your head. These are the ways you can punctuate the speaker appropriately to show you're listening. Nod your head slowly, keep eye contact with them. Again, if you're neurodivergent and eye contact is uncomfortable or difficult, focus on the bridge of their nose, focus on the tip of their nose. As close as you can to making eye contact, you can work on it. You can do your mirror work to get better. Nod your head slowly. Occasionally punctuate what they're saying with, uh-huh. Oh, wow. Uh-huh. Oh, I see. Okay. You can even, if you get really good at it, interrupt with things like, so then what happened? Or, oh my gosh. Or, wow, really? Or, that must have been really hard. Obviously, this is, you know, context matters and the situation and conversation matters, but you need to be able to demonstrate that you're listening, and that's the most you need to say. The whole point of holding space is to just give someone a container to be seen, to be heard, to be witnessed, and to feel as though they can express themselves without you telling them what they need to do and how they need to fix it and what they're doing wrong and why they're being an idiot. We get that all day long. We don't need that when we're talking to someone we love, right? So get comfortable in silence. Get comfortable holding space. It's very strange, especially for people with masculine energy. I get it. But you have to learn to be comfortable in that silence. And it's really going to pay off, I promise. Now, the last piece here is what to say after, meaning, you know, they're done, they've exhausted their statement. Maybe they want your input, maybe they don't. This is what I do, and I've been doing for a very long time. And anyone who knows me knows that I do this a lot, like to the point where it's become annoying to my friends. I say, and I quote, you know what I'm going to say. I'm going to ask you, do you want me to listen or do you want me to respond? And then I stop talking. And they take a moment and they go, right now I just want you to listen. And I swear to God, that's the hardest one for me because I'm just like, no, I can tell you everything you need to do to fix this. Just give me 5 minutes. But I bite my tongue and I shut my mouth and I say, okay, I will listen. And then they mentally vomit or they do whatever they're going to do. And I say, okay, I heard you. I see you. That sounds like it was really hard. How do you feel now? And then I stop talking. That specific piece of feedback, that kind of response, is invaluable. When someone is mentally vomiting and they are emotional and they're upset and it's intense, your job is to listen and then say, okay, I hear you. That's hard. I see you. I see that you're going through this struggle. And then, to quote the incredible Brené Brown, you need to ask a really important question. Ask them, in your own words, obviously, how can I support you? Not, is there something I can do to support you? Because that gives them an out. It sounds more rehearsed, more false. Then what can I do to support you? The first is active. The second is passive. It sounds like you're just kind of meh, whatever. But saying, how can I support you? Or what can I do in this moment to help you feel a little bit better? Obviously, phrase it in a way that makes sense and in a way that's going to be received well to that other person. But ask them. Sometimes it can be, what do you need right now? Sometimes it can be, is there anything that would help in this moment? Phrase it in a way that makes sense to you and then shut up and let them answer you. Sometimes they'll just shrug and they'll throw their hands up and say, nothing, there's nothing you can do right now. I just really needed to talk and you listened and I really appreciate it. Sometimes they'll actually give you a concrete thing that they need. And then you're obligated to try to give that to them. So this is where building friendships really matters. If someone tells you what they need, try to give that to them and make it about them, not about you. Like I said, we could go on and on and on about how to listen, but this is just the main highlights. from the top, remember, listening is not just a skill that we're born with. It is a skill, a muscle we have to exercise. We have to practice it. Not everyone is good at it, but everyone can get better at it. Remember that listening has verbal and nonverbal cues. Remember that when you listen, you need to withhold your judgment, and that whatever is happening and being said, it's not your job to decide that they're being an idiot. It's your job to be quiet and to listen. And learn to get comfortable with being quiet, withholding space, and not responding, not commenting, not giving feedback, not interrupting, nothing, no fixing, nothing. You can interrupt occasionally, punctuate the speaker appropriately with an occasional uh-huh, an occasional yes, an occasional I understand, an occasional oh man, but that's it. And when they're done, give them a repeat of what you heard. I heard you say XYZ, or it sounds like you feel XYZ, and say, that's a lot. I hear you. I see you. What can I do to support you right now? That's it. That's how you listen. It's hard, but it gets better the more you do it. And that's what we're all about here. So I hope you liked this episode. I hope you took lots of copious notes. I hope you like and subscribe. I hope you share this episode with that person in your life who really needs to learn how to listen. And I hope you share this with as many people as possible, because my goal is to help the world get better. So thanks a lot for listening, and let's talk soon. Let's get you better.